peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and friendos, welcome in. It is leading off on Fantasy Pros. I'm Chris Welsh, your host, because Joe Pisapia is not here doing his job. Who does he think he is?
How dare you take vacation? Don't you know where you live? We don't do vacation in this country. Come on.
That's not Bubba. That's Bogman. Bogman is back with us again. He, just can't get enough of me. Cannot get enough of me, and he is right back to join in again. Bubba had a thing. I think he had a car thing. So
car emergency.
Pinch hitting. So hi, Bogman. Welcome back in.
Thanks for having me again. Glad to be here. So let's talk some baseball. Let's talk this hilarious Archie Bradley thing. I mean,
you're jumping way ahead into the show.
I know, but it's too
good. I'm
going
to pre-tell you right now. I'm going to have to work very hard to not laugh because we don't want to laugh.
It's going to be an impossibility for me.
We'll see. We've got some surprises. We have got new entries into the Photoshop Joe hair contest. I thought it was dead. It's up to you guys to make sure it lives on. And we've got a couple new entries. So we are back on for a contest. And also, we have a wrinkle in the home run contest today. We have a double points day. So it should be very, very fun. Bogman, let's go back in time. We're going back in time to a time that Patrick Corbin was good. He throws two pitches. Those two pitches were efficient back in the day. And Patrick Corbin struck out 12 in a win against the Pirates yesterday. And we were talking about stacking the Pirates. How does Patrick Corbin do this?
Right. Well, my quick math would be it's the Pirates. So because my thought process yesterday was I bet Patrick Corbin wishes he could pitch against the Pirates every single time out when he looks like this, because I looked. He's had nothing close to this all year long.
No,
not even a whiff.
I don't think you could have strung two starts together for him to be this effective or have that many strikeouts. It's awful. Mm-mm.
No, he's been awful. So this came out of nowhere. Look, but I expect this to return from whence it came very, very fast. I do not believe we will see another start like this from Patrick Corbin this year.
So. No. Yeah. Patrick Corbin dropped his crystal shoes and the ball is about to end real quick.
Look at Wonky. Do you see this? I was inspired by Chad Cool, so I started Corbin in DFS. That went very well for me. Yes, Wonky. Wow. Amazing call.
Wow. And just as a precursor to a little bit later as well, speaking of those Pirates, just want to point out someone who was mean to me yesterday that Mike decided to come back. He pre-started the show with a little comment about maybe something we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Other headlines around baseball. Gleyber Torres back in the lineup today. He's had a very good comeback year. Actually, Joe and I, when we were going through the MVP voting or the All-Star voting, I'm sorry, I actually put Gleyber Torres in because the position just wasn't 100% and didn't make sense. Missing a little bit of time doesn't necessarily help, but I put Gleyber Torres kind of back in there. Boggs, Matt Olson blasts two homers as he attempts to get back in. There was a time period where Matt Olson was in the same tier of like Pete Alonso, completely different tiers now.
Yeah, completely different tiers. I'm with you for sure.
Boy, Mike, Corbin only had 10 strikeouts in his previous three starts combined. That is from Mike Mayer. Holy cow.
I don't know what happened. He must have. Do you think he met? Maybe Joe is a devil's advocate. Was he out there meeting Patrick Corbin, giving him wishes and stuff? Do you think that's what it is?
I think it's possible. Yeah. Shout out to his Photoshop picture. Freddie Freeman fired his agent over the Atlanta contract situation. I don't know if everybody saw this. There was actually, God, now I'm forgetting who it was. There was, it was a player that came out and said he's not even surprised at this. Oh, it was Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones apparently had been warning Freddie Freeman to fire his agents and he wanted to return to Atlanta. The report is, and the agents overplayed the hand. It got probably messy where Atlanta just didn't call back. And if you remember, like they kind of said that goodbye to Freddie and he was like, oh, I don't know what happened. So apparently he was pissed and he fired his agents and currently is representing himself. So
yeah, that's not good. I mean, you got to get somebody else in there pretty quick for you. But I mean, he signed a long deal with the Dodgers anyway. So I know he probably wants to go back to Atlanta, but tough. That door is shut.
Yeah. Jacob DeGrom threw a live batting practice on Wednesday, which is very, very good news. We can get him back here in the near future. Again, I think you know, with these like live BP sessions, you're still looking at a timeline post All-Star break. We have Scherzer potentially coming back on Sunday. DeGrom's got to actually throw in some simulated, like a full-on game, and then probably a start or two after. So, you know, there's a possibility. I keep saying All-Star game. It might be beyond. So just throwing that out there, it might be something that isn't until...
I think they said late July, early August is like the new, that's the window. That's where they want him back.
Yeah, and that's where you might have to look for. Aaron Ashby completed another bullpen session. He could return as early as this weekend.
Nephew, get back out there. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, to continue the Ashby versus Strider series that I will be following all season long. Luis Castillo struck out 11 in a win against the Cubs, and Robbie Ray tossed 7 scoreless, 1-hit innings in a no decision versus the Orioles. And Luis Castillo, Molly, both kind of pushing up their trade value. And I think we talked about it yesterday that Heyman has also, he was talking about the Whit Merrifield trade rumors. There's also kind of an uptick in stuff for Luis Castillo. And I'm glad Larry put this up here, because I meant to copy this in. I think maybe one of the bigger pieces of news was Fernando Tatis said he's feeling good and he's going to begin swinging in about 2 weeks. So again, timeline stuff, that's right around probably All-Star break. He's going to have to get into, I'm guessing, a rehab game, maybe a week or so. He's missed significant time. I could expect a little bit bigger, but he's one of those guys that I could actually see them not doing it whatsoever, but not extended. So I think you're looking at the beginning of August, which is probably far beyond the timeline anybody actually really expected.
This is just another reason why you don't want to go into the season with a player who's already hurt, because they have setbacks, they have weird stuff happen. And, you know, now when you thought they're coming back in early July, they're coming back in early August, and that's most of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I was burned. We've talked about this a long time. I was burned in basketball a couple years back with baseball people. Like, who's this? This Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard was injured going into the year, drafted him out for the season. Bogman did it with Lev Bell. It was a little bit different, but it was more of the, when there's a tenuous situation of like major contract holdouts or injuries, it really is. It's just, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, especially, you know, I've been seeing a lot of trade stuff. They're a little bit more dynasty, but also if you think of production, somebody presented one, it was our guy, friend James McGrath in this League Listener, and it was his Fernando Tatis for Bobby Witt and then a pitcher. Let's just call it a middle line pitcher. And there were contracts and stuff that were involved in it, but he was still looking at it from a this year perspective. He's like, listen, Bobby Witt is, you know, in line to be a 2020 guy. How much production are you really losing with Bobby Witt to Fernando Tatis Jr. when he comes back? It's maybe not enough. The shortstop position is just so wide. The gaps have widened that what is the risk really worth, especially with him kind of, I don't know, carrying a little bit of an injury tag with him. That's something we're going to have to consider. He's not free of it. Like, you know, Acuna, like,
he still has the shoulder thing. After he gets past this wrist thing, you know, and that's all good, he still has the shoulder thing because he hasn't had surgery on it yet. And that's going to keep happening to him. So he's a tough player to own this second. I mean, next year, he's a great player to own. You know, especially resting that shoulder has helped him because he definitely needed it.
But with him, though, will you go into next year? Well, you're the worst person to ask this because you will. But it's like the question I want to ask you is, will you go in with a injury tag on Tatis moving forward of a fear? And I know
I'll take an injury prone player over an injured player all day long. I'll take Judge and Stanton, and even those guys annoy me. The only guy I won't take is Steven Strasburg.
Here, why don't you do this? Define injury prone versus injury plagued.
A guy that has missed at least a month of the season for 3 years straight. Someone who hasn't played 140 games.
But also like injury prone, it tends to be like they are just consistently getting injured in kind of the same fashion. Injury,
Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, because there's a guys that are just like, they have goofy stuff. Giancarlo Stanton really kind of suffered from goofy injuries happening to someone that has got nagging injuries that kind of continuously go. And I'm curious at how many people are going to kind of start baking that in. Like Adalberto Mondesi, you cannot move forward with Adalberto Mondesi thinking that he'll ever play 100 games. You can never assume he'll do that. So you have to draft him accordingly. So if everybody gets caught in their feelings again next year, where it's like, ooh, I can get 50 stolen bases, I'm going to draft him in the third round, you'll never get him more than that. Are we in a space, and will we get in a space with Fernando Tatis where we know we will never get a certain amount of games from? Or, I mean, I think it's too soon to do that, but you're more of an injury
guy. I think so. No, I think it's too soon to do that. I think if he has surgery on his shoulder eventually, then he'll be fine. But yeah, that surgery, which he probably should have had at the beginning of this season, will keep you out for a long time. It's a long-term injury. It's like a year. So it's going to suck if he ever does have to have that. It's probably going to happen.
Don't like
probably
it.
Gonna happen.
Injuries. Brandon Marsh day-to-day with a knee bruise. Kenley Jansen expected back when he's first eligible in July. I know you were worried about the irregular heartbeat.
Well, I mean, come on. At what point do you just say, all right, I've made enough money, I'm getting a regular heartbeat on a consistent basis, this is not worth it. So it seems to be like this was a one-day blip. They kind of panicked. They put him on the IL. Probably the right thing to do. Give him a rest for a little bit. Make sure he's okay. And then he comes back. But, I mean, you know, I can't imagine that Kenley Jansen has a, much, much longer MLB career. I think it's going to come to an end fairly quick.
Yeah, something that's been carrying from a long time. Mookie Betts is going to resume baseball activities on Wednesday. Thank you. Liam Hendricks is going to throw a simulated game on Friday. And Jazz Chisholm, he left the game early yesterday with lower back discomfort. That's what happens when you try to pull the ball more aggressive than any baseball player that exists. You're going to probably pull your back. Bogman, can we talk about... My attitude's about to change. Can we talk about this? Can you kick my... No, we'll do that joke. Can you kick O'Neill Cruz? This week, O'Neill Cruz hit his homer. We talked about it. I got called a hater. And let's just go back to this again. Let's go back. I love seeing this. This is my favorite three words. If we ever have a contest, give me three words combined that Welsh loves more than anything.
Welsh was right.
Welsh was right. O'Neill Cruz goes 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. I was actually stacking up. I will tell you, I had about 5 different tweets locked together. I was typing. I was like, nah, I'm gonna do that one. I had one that was like
too mean, too soft, too mean.
No, it was too reachy.
You couldn't find a Goldilocks one there.
Here was my main one. It was gonna be 0-for-4 Neil, like O'Neill, and then cruising to 3 strikeouts. That was gonna be it. I didn't put it out there. Probably a good thing. But it's actually not just to let everybody know that O'Neill Cruz went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, because you already know that O'Neill Cruz went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. It's this: O'Neill Cruz on DraftKings is currently the number one player as odds go for rookie of the year. The number one of all of the NL rookie of the year candidates. Bogman, hold on.
Have these guys,
all of them, all the guys that have been playing months prior, Mackenzie Gore losing prospect eligibility, Spencer Strider, Nolan Gorman has been up. There is no player that has worse odds than O'Neill Cruz. He is plus 380, the number one rookie of the year odds on favorite for DraftKings.
Have these guys not watched Buddy Kennedy? That's my question. Like, Buddy Kennedy. No, I'm kidding. But the hype, it's all the hype. It's everything you said. And by the way, not only did he go 0-for last night, he also threw one across the diamond, and it was like,
but how fast
had to be
it?
Close to 100 miles an hour, but it was right in the dirt and right past Michael Chavez.
Well, but it's only important to know how fast he threw it. Here are some other odds in the NL. Just again, you want to play rookie of the year, the guy who just got called up a week ago, but he can throw 97. And it's very
Alec
important
in there. You didn't mention Alec.
I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to give them all to you. Number two, Michael Harris is at 450. O'Neill Cruz is at 380. I would rather Michael Harris is at 450.
Harris for sure.
Wild. Mackenzie Gore plus 550, lower than O'Neill Cruz. Spencer Strider is at 600 plus 600 on there.
He should win it just for his pants.
And then the other within like trajectory is Nolan Gorman, who has been up just the majority of the year hitting, striking out and stuff, but tons of homers and stuff. 650. Check these two out though. This is wild. Alec Thomas is plus 2,500 and Jack Sawinski is plus 2,000. Sawinski, average isn't quite there, but I think he's up to 12 homers. Sawinski at 2,000. Alec Thomas is 2,500. Dan said it right there. Alex Thomas has a better chance at rookie of the year. I cannot fathom how O'Neill Cruz, and you say hype. I mean, I talk hype and I joke about it, but like the books don't necessarily play hype. That's not the game that they play. They jump on a guy that just came up as the number. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe I'm actually saying this incorrectly because they say, hey, we'll just put some good odds up. We'll put them as the number one. People are going to want to bet it and we're going to just rake in money. I'm shocked at the amount of guys that are up there. And just looking again, you've got guys like Christopher Morel, Hunter Green is plus 9,000. Wanya Pez is on that list at plus 1,500. And O'Neal Cruz, the number one NL Rookie of the Year vote getter. Again, I don't like want him to fail. I told you, I saw
one reel that showed why it was. It was he came up. He had the hardest throw. He had the hardest hit ball by a Pirate in his first game, and he had a sprint speed faster than Tyreek Hill. Like when you have that, and it's going across all social media, everyone thinks that this guy is going to break out and be a huge superstar. So if he puts even a whiff of stuff together, he's probably going to get the votes to win. So I understand him being at these odds, but it's just these other guys have been up for a couple months. Alec Thomas has been hitting well the whole season. So it's just so surprising. He's got the hype, but he definitely does not have the numbers.
Yeah, well, Wonky says if they awarded it based solely on stats, that would be sweet, but I think hype carries weight.
I think hype definitely carries.
Okay, but see, I disagree. I think it carries weight now, which is to this point. When the award comes in, it's not the rookie of hype year, whatever. Yeah. I can. It's not that. Hype obviously plays a role in this stuff as odds go through. So that's why I'm saying I work through it live. Like, okay, it actually makes sense. Everyone's so excited about O'Neal Cruz. The hype is crazy. Put it up now. Give us some odds that make people excited. But when you put him as number one, people are like, oh my God, this is the odds on favorite. Now it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense in my mind for the hype. But when push comes to shove at the end of the year, I mean, it is about production. It's not about how hype the player is. It's going to be about the production. It'll be beyond stats of like, what did they do for their team? Were their team's winners? Were they a catalyst and stuff like that? Sure. But the hype makes sense now.
If O'Neal Cruz goes 15-15 and hits 280, do you think he just gets it?
What is? I'm sorry, say it again.
15-15 and hits 280?
I don't think that's a guarantee. I mean... Alec Thomas could go 20 for 20, but I mean, the hype might see that would be a situation where the hype could carry it.
That's what I think. Yeah. Because they'll also say, well, gold glove defense he plays, sure. You know,
well, Alec Thomas has been gold glove defense.
They'll just say that, you know, I'm with you, but I do think that if he puts up like a decent floor level stat line and plays decent defense, doesn't have 1,000 errors like he did last night, then they'll probably give it to him. So
speaking of Diamondbacks real quick, this is one other thing that I thought would be interesting to talk about. There was a 6-day scoring change. I don't know if you saw our friend Ryan tweeted at us and said, can we talk about this? 6 days later, he had won by 3 in his matchup. Then 6 days later, there was a scoring change that made him lose by 1. The scoring change was the double for Ha-Sung Kim against the Diamondbacks at Padres on 6/21 was changed to an error on Jordan Luplow, which allowed Kim or made Kim lose the RBI and the run scoring on the play. And it was changed to an unearned run against Zach Gallen. So that would affect Gallen. And obviously Ha-Sung Kim made him move. That's wild. That's wild.
I thought they had 3 days to make stat changes. Maybe that's the NFL. Maybe I'm getting them mixed up, but I thought 3 days. I thought like, okay, because this is why I wait to, you know, if I'm a commish, I wait to give out money until the following Thursday, because I thought that was when stat corrections happen after, you know, your last Monday night football game, you go Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday. If there's no stat corrections, it's not changing. So I was surprised to see such a big thing happen like this 6 days later. Very surprising.
Quick burn through on these. This day in baseball, I thought this one was interesting. 1995, Hideo Nomo struck out on this day 13 Colorado Rockies in a 3-0 victory, which gave him 50 strikeouts over 4 games. The stat goes on. This was the most. It broke a Los Angeles record. Sandy Koufax had 49, I think, in that period. What I found interesting about that wrapped in, because the Dodgers are playing the Rockies, the Dodgers have not struck out 13 batters over the last 2 games against the Rockies. They've only struck out 12 against them. And also one for Bogman. This day in 2003, Eric Burns hit for the cycle. So I thought you would enjoy that. Right. I will attempt to, because I want to spend a lot of time on this, because as everybody's getting mad at me now that I spent, you know, 5 minutes on O'Neal Cruz. So I really apologize that we talked sports here. Sorry, John. I'll do better for you, John, later. I'll make this show better and more catered for you. I'm probably not going to laugh at this now, but this would go under Joe's tough guys, but we'll call this Welsh's Hardos. Angels reliever Archie Bradley broke a bone because we don't laugh at injuries. You know, so hypothetically, there's time for it, but we don't laugh at injuries. Broke a bone in his right elbow while climbing over the dugout railing during the Los Angeles Angels brawl with the Seattle Mariners on Tuesday. Bradley will now be out for at least a month. John Boy did a breakdown of it. Archie was just trying to come out the dugout to fight people, and he broke his arm.
I mean, just so funny. Like, what he has this story and the story of crapping his pants. In his major league career, how has he lasted this long? Is my
question. Amazing. I love him. He's a great guy.
He's a great dude, but I mean, he is becoming a joke, and you don't want to get to that point.
Three most famous things about him are not about pitching. It's hitting. What was it? A triple in the playoffs, about pooping his pants, and then about breaking your arm trying to fight people. But he did sign a ball saying "Go Sooners" to Bogman that I gave to Bogman, which made me very, very happy. Go Spooners, Bogman. Some stat heroes. Robbie Ray on the pitching side, 7, struck out 8. Patrick Corbin, we talked about. Framber Valdez went 8, struck out 5. Dean Kremer, 7 with 5 strikeouts. And Luis Castillo struck out 11 over 6 innings. On the hitting side, bunch of bombs. Marcus Semien continues to roll. We did a look. Marcus Semien was like hitting 270 with 7 homers, 7 stolen bases coming into yesterday over the last 30 days. Puts on another 3-for-4 with a homer and 4 RBI. Jordan Alvarez, 3-for-3 with a homer. Put it on the board. Thank you very much. I think I even said, as soon as I don't pick Shohei Ohtani, I said, guarantee he'll hit a homer. He did. He was 3-for-3, homer, 2 RBI, which the 3-for-3 got awesome. I don't even saw it too. It was like Ohtani and Trout both hit homers, and then they were still down by like 7 by the White Sox. They're incredible. Speaking of, Luis Robert, 3-for-5. Yeah, 3-for-5 with a homer. Kyle Tucker had a homer, 1-for-3, 3 RBI. He also had a stolen base combo meal. Charlie Blackmon, 4-for-5. RBI and 2 runs, and Jonathan India getting back into it just a tiny bit, 2-for-5 with a homer and 3 RBIs.
Charlie Blackmon rocks Clayton Kershaw. He rocks him like every time.
Yeah, exactly. Stat zeros, Clayton Kershaw, 6 earned runs, walked 4, giving up 9 hits against the Colorado Rockies.
He even said, "I suck today." That was his analysis of his
I got to tell you, I don't understand the Dodger stuff. They get swept by the Pirates. They're getting just absolutely murdered by the Rockies. They're something else this year. And then they'll go play Arizona and they'll sweep them. John Heasley, 3 2/3, giving up 7 earned runs. Carlos Carrasco gave up 6 and 4. And Zach Gallen, 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. And as I think Mayor put on here, a 5.26 ERA for Gallen in June. He had that big strikeout performance, but he has been up. He has been down. It has been a whole thing for him. Zach Gallen, are you still heavily in on Zach Gallen? I mean,
no.
You have to deal with your homerism here.
No, I'm not. I've watched him enough to not be heavily into him. I think he is overrated for sure. But, I mean, he's fine, but he's like a 3. I don't think that he's an ace at all.
Oh, and I think JP just said he got negative 10 points from Kershaw yesterday.
Yikes.
Oh, he did suck. The zeros on the hitting side, Michael Chavis, 4 strikeouts. Your 3 guys, Ramon Laureano, Gio Judge, O'Neal, sorry, said it, JD Martinez. Kwan was 0-for-6. Yikes. 1 strikeout, though. 1 strikeout for Stephen Kwan is equivalent to like 3 strikeouts. So just pointing
for a normal person,
that.
Right?
Yeah, for a normal person. Andrew Vaughn goes 4-for-4 a couple days ago, 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Ian Happ 0-for-5 and Dansby Swanson 0-for-5. No bueno. Friends, I got a homer in the home run contest yesterday. I needed it bad, Jordan Alvarez. And on the contest, we have hit some milestones. Let's take a look at the board. On the home run side, our first to 30 is High Cubby 2016 with 30 home runs. We officially also crossed the 16 home run marker. That is wild. 1600 homers. Larry's in second. Title Chaser is in third. Those are pretty locked in. Joey is still on this board because he had Jordan Alvarez yesterday as well. So he is not coming off of it. I know it's brutal. Mayor, can you tell me how many I have? If I have 14, 15, something like that. I need to know like how far I'm off and how much I need to reach. So good job to everybody. If you guys are not premium members over on the Discord can, do the naked thing again, can take advantage of the home run contest. It's really easy on the Discord. You just go into the home run room, you make your call, and you're good to go. And you can make it every single week. So I have 15. So I need to get a little hot.
Got some work to do.
One good week. Thank you, Wonky. I got 15. One good week I could get going, but I've been on a bad curse. Now, Wonky has declared. We have a bonus day today. Wonky's declaration is the rookie bonus. That's right. We talked about the rookies before and the rookie of the year. Any call of a player who is currently qualified as a rookie will count as double the home runs. We will come back to that here in just a little bit, Boggs, and see where you're at and where I'm at. Over on the bets, because our friends over, I'm not taking the hat off today because I put too much hair on there yesterday, right? I'm putting on my crown for our friends over at BetMGM. They are the kings, and we have an offer for new users. Bet $10, you're going to win $200 on any game you bet, regardless of the outcome. All you have to do is download the app, BetMGM, go type it in wherever you go and use the promo code leading off. Kings, queens, make money. It's free money. We're probably not going to be too sad when
secure the bag, kings and queens.
When Joe's crown comes back and not mine. I don't know. Maybe you guys will like mine. Maybe Joe and I need to do I'll wear my princess crown and he can wear his actual crown. I've got three bets for you today, and it's actually kind of juicy. There's a lot out there. I'm going with Shohei Ohtani strikeouts. It's set at 6.5. It's plus money over on FanDuel, which I like. It can get a little bit here and there, but it's been big, big strikeouts for him lately. CJ Cron has a 6-for-14 track record, BBP, versus Julio Urias, and his total bases over on DraftKings are also plus money. Colorado has been putting them to the woodshed. This will be the game, of course. But he's got 2 doubles and 2 homers career-wise, 6-for-14. I like the total bases for CJ Cron. And I'm also going with George Springer, who's going up against Nick Pivetta, who's been good. His total base marker is at 1.5, and it is plus money at 120. And I just found this fascinating. He is 6-for-12 against Pivetta, I think. 6-for-12 or 6-for-14, but has 0 career strikeouts against Nick Pivetta. So I'm kind of in on that marker, and George Springer leading off, a lot of opportunities. I'm going to go with the total bases here at 1.5. And I will tell you, there's a lot of good strikeout ones out there. I went 2-for-1 yesterday. Yesterday, the Brandon Woodruff one, silly, ridiculous, but I nailed Shane Boz and I nailed the Jordan Alvarez one. So hopefully jump back in on it here. Bogman, over on the DFS, what do you got for us?
Well, look, there's some good pitching history, even better than PVB today. Kyle Wright against current Phillies on the roster, 6-for-28. That's a 187 average against. 2 homers, 2 of those 6 have been bombed, but no other extra base hits hit against him. Alek Manoah, 6-for-45 is the batting average for Red Sox against him. Red Sox on the roster, that's a 087 average. 2 doubles and no other extra base hits against him. Cal Quantrill for the Guardians going up against the Twins. Their current batting average against him is 144, 9-for-59. With 2 homers and 2 triples. I think both those triples were hit by Luis Arraez. And then in some PVB, a couple good ones. You mentioned CJ Cron, 429 batting average, 2 homers, 2 bombs versus Julio Urias. Bo Bichette, 8-for-19, a 421 average, 2 homers, 2 doubles versus Nick Pivetta. George Springer, 6-for-12, 2 doubles versus Pivetta. And Charlie Blackmon, another guy he's historically good against, 7-for-20, a 350 average, a triple and 2 doubles versus Julio Urias.
Good stuff. Stack wise, looking at Texas, the second most implied runs outside of the Dodger Rocky one's just going to continue going, but 9 runs, Dane Dunning versus Greinke on the Rangers Royal side. I kind of like Texas. Atlanta would be another one of those that I think I would jump on if you can get any of those guys in, especially coming off of like a bad performance with Dansby. They've got Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez has been trash, and Seattle if you're looking for some stacks. Finally, Boggs, the home run call of the night. So we said it. Rookies are going to be there. I'm going to take Alek Thomas. I think actually somebody in the chat just a second ago was putting Alek Thomas out there. Yeah, right here. Dan, Alek Thomas, 2-for-2, and he already has a dinger against Mike Clevinger. I battled because I kind of like Bobby Witt today. And also, you know, let's secure the bat right there, the Bobby Witt bat. There's a lot of good places to go. Rookies get 2. So, friends, I am going to be going with Alek Thomas. Bogman?
I'll take O'Neal Cruz since you talked all the smack against him. I'll take O'Neal Cruz and watch him hit two bombs tonight and get me four and get me back in this contest. Let's go.
I almost thought, how great would it be if I went with him and then I could just play both sides. Really, I should get him, if anything. Also, if you guys want, over in the Discord on the premium chat, you can get in on the Welsh AMA. We will continue the contest. I do have two new submissions as we're going to end the show for Joe Pizzapia Photoshop hair. Is we had the Devil's Advocate earlier in the week. Here were two. Boy, I could pull it up in the Discord, but this is Pizzapia DeGrom, if you will, Boggs. Pizzapia DeGrom.
Wow.
This is by Larry. Girl. That's a pretty Joe Pizzapia.
Great work, Larry.
And this is LL Cool Pizzapia right there.
Oh, there you go.
I like that look. That's a pretty good one.
There's
that
Joe in Gangster's Paradise. Right,
so you got the Devil's Advocate, you've got the Coolio Pizzapia, and you got Jacob DeGrom Pizzapia with whatever the face is that's going on. All right, friends, thanks for hanging out. I know it's not Joe. Hopefully you guys are having fun. Sorry I spend minutes and minutes on certain players, but I like to have fun. I like to do the breakdown, and we only have so much time on here. That's Bogman. Find him on Twitter, Bogman Sports. Me at Is It The Welsh. And we will be back again with you tomorrow. I don't actually know who's with me. Might be Bogman, might be Bubba. You're just going to have to tune in and find out.
Okay, yeah.
We'll find out. It's leading off. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. We love you guys. Let's see what O'Neal does. Let's see how much I'll talk about him tomorrow.
Bye, guys. Bomb.